Hello and welcome to another episode of the Pod Well Travelled. I'm Penny Thomas and today I'm joined by fashion writer and stylist Megan French and our travel editor Stephen Scalfield. Welcome back to the podcast.
Hello.
Good morning.
Today we will be delving into packing for serial overpackers like myself, for people that are efficient at packing, for people just who might need some help with packing. It's something that I tend to dread because I can get a bit flustered by the decision-making choices that have to go on with packing, but because of our line of work, I've had to get used to it. So we'll try to give you some tips and tricks that might help you for packing for your next upcoming trip or one that's in the future. Perhaps we can run through what your favourite bags or type of bags are for carry-on, for check-in and for regular day trips.
Right, who's going to start?
You
Megan.
Go. No,
I'm looking at your banana bag over there.
Okay, we can start with mine. So I carry with me on board a Uniqlo bag. It's the one that went viral last year for all the right reasons. So it comes in two different sizes and it's only about $25 and it fits just about everything you'd want in your carry-on and even when you're at your destination day tripping. So I've got mine and it fits both of my film cameras, a notebook, all of my, you know, cosmetics, pens, band-aids, extra glasses, things like that. And it's just a handy bag because it's also, it's not fully waterproof, but it's like if you get caught in the rain, your belongings won't get soaked. And it's also something that you can just have over your body so it's safe when you're in crowded areas or like on the train or the tube. And yes, I prefer that.
So would you take that as carry-on with another bag as well if you were doing just a carry-on trip?
Well, it depends on where I'm going. So if I know I'm going to be buying a lot on my trip, I usually only bring that in carry-on on my way there. Yep. But I pack a spare duffel bag in my suitcase so that when on my way back, I fill that with clothes or whatever I've bought and I put that in the overheads. Right. So that's, yeah. So on the way there, I always travel light and carry on. And then on the way back, I bring everything that I've purchased on the trip.
Yeah, that's a nifty tip.
That's serious planning.
Yeah, I did that.
I'm going to shop.
I did that on my Taylor Swift trip because I knew that I was going to be buying a lot of merch. So yeah, that came all on the way back with me on the plane. Also, you know, it's good to have areas in your packing that, you know, items that you don't want to lose or things that are too valuable.
Yeah, but so, it's amazing the size of that bag and how much you do fit in it. And it still looks really stylish. So you could take that out to dinner and not be like a fancy dinner and not be embarrassed that it's a big sort of travel bag.
Yeah, definitely. I fit everything that I used in my backpack one day into that.
Yeah, that's incredible. Yeah.
Which is great considering it's just like a side satchel.
Okay. I have something similar that's a little bit smaller that sort of just wraps around you as well, which is good when you are in different cities and you feel like you want to protect anything like your phone and not have it out. So that's handy. And then I usually will take a backpack, which I have with me today, which is just a Kanken Filaraven thing. I've seen quite a few people travel with them. They're just easy to use and have a lot of space. So that tends to be my day trip bag. And when it rains, the material actually, it becomes sort of like a weather resistant material, which is handy if you are encountering different weather conditions that you might not always expect. Stephen, what's your go-to day trip bag if you're in a different city?
Day trip bag, I use a little backpack because with cameras and things, I just like to have a backpack rather than a sling over bag just because of my, you know, keep weight off my shoulders. So I've just got a couple of little fancy little bags that I use as backpacks. But so, you know, even with camera gear, I'll have a small backpack. Sometimes, you know, you can wear it on the front and use it like a little pouch sort of thing. But I tend to sort of keep day bags in my case and get them out when I need them sort of thing. So
okay, so always packing spare bags.
Yeah, there's a lot of spare backpacking happening.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I always tend to bring a few different handbag variations for when you actually get to your destination, depending on, you know, what goes with your outfit.
Yeah,
but you know, the other thing I have done frequently to bring things back is just to get a cardboard box, which are everywhere, and pack things into a cardboard box and just tape them up and check that in.
Yeah,
kind of in cardboard box is basically indestructible. And it's a good thing to bring home, then you just recycle it. So
yeah, let's go on to carry on. I know that a lot more people are traveling with carry on these days. I have a little antler suitcase that I use. The dimensions, I actually will have to follow up on the actual dimensions of those, but that it fits within most overhead luggage space that I've been able to use, which is good. Sometimes you do get ones that are a bit chubbier, I would say, that sometimes just don't fit, but they're still within the measurements that you're allowed when you're going through the airport terminal. So this one's a little bit smaller, but I actually find it works better for me. And it's a hard shell case, and I just use that because I prefer a hard shell for cameras and other pieces of tech that we might be traveling with for trips. Mm. What about you guys with carry-on? Do you prefer ones with two wheels, four wheels? What about like a duffel sort of bag? Or
yeah. Can I just say, just sorry, because you raised the two-wheel, four-wheel thing. Yeah. It's really important. And because we've, you know, we actually through Travel Club run tours, like four wheels are just so necessary. Mm. Particularly if you're moving lots of, if you've got a group and you're moving lots of bags, you can kind of whiz them all along the floor to the next, you know, the next bag handler. But if you've got one two-wheel bag, it ruins your day. And the point I was going to make is that there are tour companies which specify that you have to have a four-wheel bag as part of your terms and conditions for that reason that, you know, pushing stuff into a coach, you know, when they're load underneath, if you've got one two-wheel bag, you've got to get in there on your knees and move it in, whereas another one you can just scoot it in from the side. So just something to look out for.
Mm. And are you a hard shell or soft shell person for carry-on?
You see, you're a hard person. I'm clearly a soft person.
I think it's actually the other way around.
I agree.
Oh, really? No, I'm definitely a soft person. I just find that, you know, pushing a bag into places, just that bit of give, I've always had, I like soft cases. I'm thinking, you know, the boots of funny old Toyota Crowns in odd African countries, which are taxis, and you can put in the boot and you can sort of jam it in a bit. So, yeah, look, I've always had soft cases.
Yeah. You know. I think a soft case, well, these days I'm preferring a soft case for check-in, definitely. Yeah.
But you're clearly a hard case.
For carry-on, I will be a hard. Sorry, it took me a while to get there. It's because of the weight. The hard cases have, they are a little bit heavier, aren't they?
Yeah, that's right. And honestly, I mean, we'd all love the top of the Wazza aluminium cases, which we won't even name the brand. But, you know, when you look at the weight of those, particularly for carry-on, it's like 5 to 7 kilos you can be having in the bag, which is basically, you know, most of what you've got sort of thing. So that's the issue.
Yeah.
Always look at the weight, obviously. But we've actually I've written and we have got on thewest.com.au a story about carry-on dimensions because they are different, say, between Emirates and Qatar and so on, and they do have different widths. So carry-on is not just carry-on, and you can always look for that carry-on story in my surname, Scarfield, and you'll find those dimensions. But each one is different.
Yeah. We might actually put that story in the show notes of this podcast.
Good idea.
People can find it. What about your carry-on? What's your go-to?
Well, I'm kind of I want to make my plane experience, carry-on experience, as easy as possible. So I like to travel with as little as I can.
Yeah.
I've never gone on a trip where I just have carry-on. I think the perk of flying in an airplane is to, you know, check your luggage in and be done with it. And then, you know, you just carry your handbag and that's it. I'm not a huge fan of carrying any kind of heavy bags or lugging them around the airport, putting them in the overhead, can't be bothered with that. I only do that if I have to or I've got shopping to bring back. But yes, I tend to just bring kind of a bag that's just my personal bag that I can put under the seat in front of me. And then, yeah, I'd rather just check absolutely everything else in.
How is it that when you're checking in with your carry-on and they weigh it and there's this thing, you know, about weighing and everything, and then you get on the plane and someone turns up with, you know, carry on and three of those red and blue bags and this and that. How do they get all that on the plane?
Yeah,
there's always someone, isn't there?
There's ways around it. There's ways around it.
Clearly.
Yeah. We probably should talk about this. What does happen if you do find yourself with too much luggage or your luggage is overweight at the airport terminal? What are your options?
Just pay.
Just pay?
Just pay.
I mean, sometimes you do see people just parting with it.
You do. I absolutely treasure the sight of someone opening their case and trying to move stuff around. It's just brilliant, isn't it? Then they've got the partner's case open because you can have this and you can have that. It's just gold.
That's why you should pack an empty duffel bag because out comes the duffel bag.
Sure.
Put some belongings, jackets, heavy books into that. I'm not paying.
Yeah, look, you're not paying.
I'm not paying.
She's not paying. I just pay. I don't care. I just pay. I'm going to have a good time.
Yeah. And it is worth if you think you are overweight. I mean, I've done it before where you just go to the local post office if you are in a foreign city and get a quote, see how much it will cost. If it's a box, you know, just a regular size box, it might be a little bit more expensive, but it's worth having those treasures that you might have collected on your trips.
Yeah, look, you're right. And without being funny about it, I mean, increasingly because of the cost of aviation fuel and just the cost of running planes, more and more is weighed, and if you're over, you're over, and that's it. Mm. And you know, no matter how skinny you are, if your bag's over, you're going to pay for it.
But airlines are really, they're weighing a lot more these days. Are. I haven't ever been through domestic terminals before where my carry-on is being weighed, and they're being really strict about it as well. And
that's right.
You've already checked in your checked-in luggage, so it's no
that's
way
right.
you can reshuffle and
no,
put things
right.
in.
So that's
you've got to
right.
be smart
so
about packing.
Do think about that before you go and weigh it before you go.
Yep. And I think this is the way that I do that, but I just stand on the scales, see how much I weigh, and then pick up my luggage and deduct my own weight.
Involves
is that
math.
The best way?
Involves maths. My only vague talent in life is that I can pick up a case and tell you exactly what it weighs.
Oh, that is impressive.
Yeah, that
is. It's not that impressive, but it's all I've got.
I carry a portable suitcase scale. It's really cheap, but it's effective. And you just hook it round the top of your bag and then pick your bag up. And then, yeah, it's worked for me every time. And it's very lightweight. It works well.
Yeah. Okay. So there are some options for when you do need to know how heavy your suitcase is. I guess why do people often choose carry-on over check-in?
Yeah, look, I think particularly with with the restart of flying, it was pretty messy because, you know, there weren't enough baggage handles and so on. So there was the time factor. But also there was this feeling that baggage was getting lost. I mean, the actual data doesn't particularly support that, be it as it may. But certainly stuff was getting delayed and having to catch up and so on and so forth. So, you know, keeping your stuff with you was deemed to be a good thing. I think that's diluting now as everyone's just travelling everywhere all the time. We're back into it. But then, you know, generally, I mean, weight equals aviation fuel equals emissions. So carrying less is a good thing.
Mm.
And I think we've partly embraced that as well.
Yeah. Okay. Do you want to dive into some of the packing techniques that you guys swear by?
Megan.
Well, I'm just kind of I pack my suitcase in accordance to like when I'm going to wear my outfits.
Mm-hmm.
So, because I tend to pre-plan my outfits my whole holiday. So, I know that where I want to know where everything is. So, when I first get there, I know that my outfit on the first day is going to be on the top because it's going to be the most creased, the least creased.
Okay.
And then I'll have my steamer to, you know, steam any creases out. But yeah, I tend to, pack according to what I'll need to reach for first. Depending on how long I'm going somewhere, I'll hang things up. But, yeah, my packing does revolve around the clothes, if I'm being honest.
Can we just go back to the steamer? You pack a steamer.
What do you rely on hotels?
Yes.
It's like a steamboat or...
Well, I think my favourite thing in life is my steamer. I steam my clothes every day. And I think it's just the easiest way. I just don't think that irons are really necessary anymore, especially when you're going on holiday. It only takes you 1 minute, 1-2 minutes to steam your whole outfit before you're getting ready. And it's dry, it's crisp by the time you want to wear it. And it's light at the end of the day. And you don't have to rely on, you know, hotels' dodgy ironing boards and irons that can ruin your clothes sometimes.
It is true. Mm. I mean, I love ironing, but, you know, a hotel iron spitting out white dots all
it's
over your clothes is not good.
Okay.
So I can't get over the steamer.
Penny. Stephen, how do you pack?
Well, not quite like that, but I do I'm pretty organised. Some of the things I think most of us or a lot of us will be using packing cells, you know, the zip-up cells.
Mm-hmm.
But just to say that not all packing cells are equal, I mean, I've got some in front of me here. One, which is just a normal packing cell, you put things in and zip it up. But then I've also got an Antler brand one, which has a zip around the outside, which is, if I described it as a spiral, you know, so when you've undone this outer zip, it's quite big, and as you do the zip up, it spirals around and compresses. So it's a way of compressing clothes, or even as you're getting through your clothes, it'll keep them all tight, you know. For me, the essential for me is an ironing board. Packing with an iron, not taking an ironing board.
Oh, okay.
You both lose them. But to actually fold clothes on an ironing board before they go in the case.
Okay.
Because if I fold a shirt decent properly on an ironing board, I can get it out after 14 days in my case and it looks like it's just come out of the box. So, so I'm particular on folding things before they go in. And then I do suggest to people. It's quite a good thing. I've got, you know, while we've got little bags with things in, I use waterproof plastic containers, you know, the sort of things like food containers, because there's always, you know, the bathers from the last swim, or there's creams that you don't want to blow up all over your case and so on. So I actually put those in a Loctite waterproof container, which I think is, you know, quite a good little system. And also, the other thing I really like to suggest to people is that I've got a waterproof bag, which is always useful. I'm actually undoing it here for those who can't see me. But it's a vinyl bag. It's a 10-litre bag. So that's just when I say vinyl, the sort of nylon bags that you buy that companies say are waterproof are basically not waterproof in my book. So this is a solid vinyl bag, but it's long enough to take a bottle of wine.
Oh, okay.
So, because just bringing back, but I don't want to carry bottles. You can't carry bottles on your carry-on. So if you put one in your case, put in a bag with a roll top that is completely waterproof, and that can sit amongst your clothes without wrecking things. Other things I always pack, cumin, 1/4 teaspoon with water for unstable innards. Mosquito repellent for me is better than having anti-malarials. You know, I don't take, but I take mosquito repellent. The Apple AirTag, which lives in my case, of course, so at least I know where it is if it is not with me. Expanding cable ties. These are great, particularly on, I find, trains in Europe where you put your train in a rack, you know, by the door and then go and sit in your seat, which can be quite a long way away. And I just hate having my case next to the door, people getting in and out. So this has an expanding cable which comes out and you can wrap it around a post and around your case, and at least you can secure it to the train.
Yeah.
So if they're going to steal your case, they've got to steal the train with it. Which is going to be a giveaway because you'll be in the train, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Where do you get one of those from?
This is actually a PackSafe product, PACSAFE. And they've got two different sizes, but this is the bigger one, which is quite a substantial cable. You can put in your own number. And even look, there's a smaller version, which even with a handbag at a table in a city, you know, when you're just sitting there, you can just whiz it around. So that's quite a useful little gizmo.
Yeah.
And obviously it's just a good backup lock anyway.
Yeah. Okay. And so it's some of what else stuff is in front of you? You've got...
What's the wristband?
That was with the bag.
Oh, that was with the bag. And this is just a bag within a bag, but this is a tiny little backpack, which is, you know, a useful thing because you can take it out for the day. So it weighs a few ounces. It's made of Cordura fabric, which is like a silicone little backpack, so I can close, for those who can't see it, I can actually put in my hand and close my fingers right around it. It's that tiny and it just hangs on your bag, and then you've got a backpack when you want a backpack when you go shopping. Of course, Megan would have already planned for the shopping.
Yeah, you got to bring a spare tote bag inside of your
handbag. Spare tote bag, but a little light one, because you never know if you're going to pick something up or not.
And also, like you said, with bathers or towels or something might get wet, if you've got an umbrella that is still wet, you can put things in.
Sure.
And not be worried.
So exactly.
That was some great tips, actually.
Okay. You sound surprised. Thanks.
No, I'm not surprised. I'm always just inspired, really, because I'm learning a lot myself as someone that does like to overpack. But as I was saying before, I've had to learn some tips and tricks along the way. And some of them that I do is obviously because I don't like the decision-making process, is I've had to refine how many days I'm going away, especially if it's carry-on. I'll do the sort of 5-4-3-2-1 approach, which is, you know, 5 socks and underwears and things, and then 4 shirts, 3 pants, 2 shoes. And then the one item, I actually break that into a few, which might be like 1 pair of exercise shorts or 1 pair of bathers or 1 hat that I'll take with me. So then that sort of refines everything for me, and I'll try to match the colours within those categories, so then I can mix and match if I'm not too sure on the outfits. But generally that's how I will be able to streamline my process. But I also am a roller.
What do you call it, Megan? A military roll?
It was a military roll. One of my cousins taught it to me in England a few years ago. It's just a way of rolling up your clothes that just makes them incredibly small, and they don't usually get creased.
Really,
I think they use it in the military.
It was a naval thing.
Yeah, I used that method when I went backpacking in Europe because I had a backpack, but I'm quite a small person, so I couldn't bring a big backpack with me. It was kind of a small one, so I had to jam in as much as I could.
Yeah.
So yeah, I was trying to fit as many outfits in there as I could.
Yeah.
So can I ask you, on the fashion front, are we talking, you were talking about your outfits, but do you restrict the base colours and then add accessories?
Yeah, I will actually usually try to go with like a navy blue, black and whites and things where you can sort of mix and match.
Yep.
But
okay.
But then also adding things like scarves that are lightweight that you can jazz up your outfit with, and yep, lipsticks as well if you're feeling like you need to dress up.
Yep. I usually think about what coats I'm going to be wearing and what shoes, and then I work backwards from that according to my outfit. So if I'm going to bring three coats, which is not a lot for me, then I work out what outfits I can wear with those coats and the shoes, because obviously that's what's visible, right? Mm-hmm. If you're going to a winter destination, I'd rather bring a few extra coats than more pairs of pants and tops, because you don't really see them in all of your photos anyway.
Yeah,
good point.
Yeah, clever tip.
Never even thought of that. Good point. Yeah, I always take a good coat. So, again, are you restricting colours, Megan?
Well, not really. I just tend to mix and match whatever's in my wardrobe at that moment. I don't usually look at the colour palette as a whole, just kind of plan my outfits. And I guess I don't really have a crazy broad of, you know, range of colours in my wardrobe already. So it's kind of just, yeah, just works.
Now, because, just sorry to take over, Penny,
no,
your show, but because I'm outnumbered as someone who identifies as male with two people who identify as female, the thing we always get is, oh, it's all right for you because you don't have to worry about shoes. That's what people always say to me. Mm. Females always say to me. So what about shoes?
I think you've got to be clever with shoes. You've got to find sneakers that you can wear out and be happy that you can wear, mm-hmm, in a stylish way, but also
the
to the
sneaker
gym if you need. Yeah, a white sneaker. It depends on what your style is. But I also think comfortable like sandals that also are a bit sort of jazzed up, so have some sparkles or something on them, but they can also be worn to the pool, and you can,
yeah,
they can have a versatile aspect. And then the shoes that I usually wear on the plane are like the heaviest ones, or like a boot or something, or a loafer.
Crocs with those little push-on ornaments.
Yep, you can get
Gibbets.
Those if they're your thing. Yeah, yeah. But that would be my approach, is try to find some items that can be worn in multiple different scenarios,
right,
not just
one. So how many pairs of shoes would you take?
Well, ooh, I would usually hope
both.
Just two, if I'm doing carry-on.
Really?
Well, it depends. And then wear one on
this
the plane, so it's technically three.
Ooh.
It's controversial.
I'm guilty of bringing far too many shoes, but I would rather have more shoes shoe options than, you know, more dresses or tops or anything. I think that, I mean, for my go-to is a loafer, because you can dress that up for dinner, you can wear it in the day, you can, you know, it's so versatile. But yeah, I do tend to bring about five pairs of shoes, maybe five or six, and then I end up buying a few when I'm usually on holiday as well. So the duffel bag I mentioned before is usually filled with shoes.
So
on
are
my
they
way
all
back.
In bags, or how do you then pack your?
Well, it depends. When I was in London last year, I bought my first pair of designer shoes, so I wanted to bring them back in their original box.
What,
and
what were they?
They were Garni.
Oh,
or is it Garni? Garni flats. That, yeah, were special to me, so I wanted to bring all of the all of the merchandising back with me. But yeah, if they're just, you know, from Zara or whatever, I would just put them in a dust bag and then surrounded by jumpers or something, so that they don't get any scratches or anything.
And are you bagging your shoes?
Yeah, I tend to bag them, especially if they're going into check-in. So check-in, I'll probably bring a few more pairs, just because you've got the space, and yeah, I do like having a few different options. I probably wouldn't bring six or seven or anything like that. Be the other end, maybe four, possibly five if I'm wearing the fifth.
You'd have to be mad to do more than that.
But I have been caught at an airport before where I've had to open my suitcase and give this heavy loafer to my husband, who's like, just hating these shoes the whole trip. And he's like, why did you bring them?
It also depends on what kind of shoe style you like as well, because I'm a fan of the ballet flats. They are quite small when you put them in your suitcase. So I could have four pairs of ballet flats, not
exactly.
Maybe like three, four, but they're tiny. So that if you put them all together, they take up as much room as one pair of sneakers.
Yeah.
So yeah, it depends on what style.
And what I also do like is the duffel bags that come in with the shoe compartments on each side. So often you can fit either two, or if it's a boot or something, one on each side. And I think that's a smart design. But I'm not a huge fan of taking a big duffel bag when I'm traveling, just because of the one shoulder aspect. And often it can be quite heavy if you're just using that type of bag as well.
Now, I've got one last controversial question for both of you. Who would ever share a suitcase with a travel companion?
Absolutely not.
Oh, I think it would depend on who's got more space. I mean, if I had more space, I'm willing to be like to my friend, pop your thing in here if it's easier. And I would hope that they would do the same to me if I needed a bit of room.
I have too many clothes to do that.
Frenchie's just not going
there. No, but at the end of the day, if we've both bought a plane ticket and we've both got the check-in, why should I be sacrificing?
You're just not
my
mixing
space?
Your girls up, eh?
Yeah, well, you know, if it's one or two items, yeah, I get that. But absolutely not like half-half, no. I wouldn't last. That would be three days and I'd be done.
My case is a private zone.
Exactly.
It's no one else's business.
I would love to be that effortless traveller that can just travel with one little bag and let's get on the plane. But I'm always putting things above. I've always got something else that just always feels a little bit more than it needs to. But
always tucking something in your husband's case.
Yeah, I am. And I think that's just my personality, is that I think I'm ready and I'm organised, but I'm not quite.
That's brilliant.
Okay, well, was there anything else that you guys wanted to tick off in terms of packing and how you go about it?
Look, there's one last thing I would mention, which is that with the exception of the United States and Canada, which have requirement for TSA locks, which are the locks that the transit police there can, officers there can open. So the TSA, you'll see TSA locks, which have got a little barrel. My only thought is that, I mean, there are an awful lot of people in the world with TSA lock keys, which can open any lock, which is why you have to have them. So I don't use those in other countries. I mean, I've got some TSA locks myself, keys myself. You know? I mean, they're easy to get. So, and I've only got them because if I've got a group with me and someone, blah, 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 gets stuck. So the TSA locks, I don't use those in countries which don't require TSA locks. So I've got bog standard padlocks, which you can set your own number on. So if I'm in Europe or blah, 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 I use those because no one can open them, which is kind of the point. But don't do that in America, because they will not only cut the padlock off, they'll probably take a great chunk out of the zip as well, and generally ruin your bag for you as punishment for not conforming with TSA. So just think about the locks. All the locks that you get on a case are TSA locks.
Yeah.
So all those built-in locks, but so just bear in mind that it's very easy to get a little key for them. So I also carry some cable ties, because if I'm traveling through areas that are, dare I say, kind of dodgy, at least if you've got a cable tie on as well, you know if it's been tampered with. If the cable tie is cut or not there, you know something's gone on, So it's more of an indicator than an actual lock. So I think having a few cable ties is a good thing.
And then do you rely on a hotel to cut them open, or do you put scissors somewhere in the bag?
Look, if I was somewhere that I considered to be tricky, if they're always looking for drug carriers and so on, and my case came out without locks, I wouldn't touch it. I'd actually go to someone and go, it came out without the cable ties on. I'd probably go to someone at the conveyor and say, my belt's on the conveyor, but
it doesn't look like how I left it.
It doesn't look like how I left it. And I mean, all that's on camera. Everywhere's got cameras. So just bear in mind that you are being filmed, and you can use that to your advantage and say, well, I don't want to touch my case unless I'm with a witness. Because if someone's, I mean, this has happened. It happened in Bali, where drugs were put in someone's bag. So I'm just going to be super careful.
Yeah. What about plastic wrap?
Yeah, you do see a lot of people using the plastic wrap. What is the purpose? Is that for security?
Yeah, it's just security. It's a good indicator, isn't it? I mean, there are countries that you go to where people obsessively have their bags, locals have their bags wrapped in what we'd call cling film or glad wrap, just because for that exactly the reason I just said, they don't want anything tucked in their bags.
Yeah.
And if locals are doing it, it's always a good indicator that it's a place to be careful.
Yeah.
I've never done it, mainly because you end up with an awful lot of soft plastic at the end,
And if you've got these locks like you're speaking about, then you should be able to know that it's...
But
been tampered.
But that's always, as I say, that's a very good indicator that locals are being very careful.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And I would also say, forgot to mention before, that packing scissors in your check-in is important. I always carry scissors with me, mainly because I've got to cut my fringe. But they always come in handy whenever you buy something or, like, you know, not relying on the hotel scissors or, you know, you can carry them with you. And yeah, I just think that you shouldn't travel without any scissors.
Good thought. I've got a little toolkit in my bag, but we don't need to go into that.
Yeah, you're a very seasoned traveller. So do you still have like a travel checklist? I mean, I have to because otherwise I'll forget things.
No, well, no, I don't because my case is sort of always packed bar changing the clothes, really.
Mm.
So, I've got a little toolkit with a multi-tool and some tiny screwdrivers for glasses and a Swiss Army knife and, you can get this plastic which activates so you can make little pieces. So you can make little plastic pieces and I've got the toolkit.
Oh, wow.
I've got a pretty refined first aid kit, obviously after a lifetime of doing this with things that will start you up whatever happens. And all the other things I've got, spare spectacles, which Megan mentioned, which are a must, you know, for all of us who wear them. So all of that's always packed. And I never take that out. Yeah. The things I've mentioned here are always in the case and then I just change the clothes. So, you know, even kind of for guys, shavers and things, I've got one in there which just lives in there and everything's ready to go. So you can't really forget anything.
Yeah, well, I'm excited to delve into unpack what Stephen has in his suitcase, which we will, and then we'll upload those onto our socials as well so you can have a look at those once they are up and ready. But Megan, was there anything else that you wanted to
mention? No, I think we've covered
today?
It all. I think we've covered all.
We have.
Yeah.
All surfaces.
The only thing I would add is not to pack in a panic. That's one of my top pieces of advice because I've probably done it too many times and you will always inevitably forget something and you'll just feel like it's not all contained and how you sort of want it. So try to pack a few days earlier. You would say maybe a week? Or
I think it's a good idea if you, particularly people who don't travel as much as we obviously do, is just open your case, leave it somewhere and then as you go, oh, I must take such and such, just pop it in there. You know, you've just got somewhere to put things when you go, oh, I need a clip for my phone, you know, spare clip for my phone tripod, pop it in there, just pop it in the case.
I actually like the ironing board idea as well. Have the suitcase and the ironing board and just collect things as you're going. And then
gold.
Once you're ready, you sort of can look at everything and then pop it all in and feel like you've got everything, which is
one of the trips I mentioned that we, as part of Travel Club, we take groups with us. And one of the last things with the Antarctica groups, and I'm taking one in November, before we go is I get them to bring their cases and I go through their cases and remove things that they won't need and suggest things that they do need. But going through someone's case is about as much fun as you can have.
Yeah, like a packing consultant there, Stephen.
what's the weirdest thing you've seen that someone was going to try and bring to Antarctica?
Look, there's invariably, good question, there's invariably a big fluffy, dare I name a brand, Roxy jacket with a fur-edged hood, which is about as much, it's not an Antarctica bit of kit, and you go, well, it's just not worth that. So there'll always be some jacket which they think is a warm jacket, which is not a warm jacket, you know. That's probably the biggest thing. But I did have one group of 24 people who didn't realise they were bringing home the jacket from the ship. So I brought home the 24 jackets in a cardboard box. And it was only when I got home that I realised that most of them had stuffed their laundry in the pockets just to sneak it home as well. So that's a good packing tip. Get someone else to take your laundry home for you.
And Stephen, I think you've also mentioned to me once before that some people have got a good connection with their suitcases that might be heirlooms or things like that, but the older the suitcase, sometimes they aren't as easy to travel with because they might not roll as well or they might be quite heavy.
Exactly right.
So is your advice to maybe check out what the latest stuff is out there?
Absolutely. I mean, suitcases are, you know, not inexpensive these days. But so really research it. Look for weight. Decide whether you want hard or soft.
Mm.
You know, and obviously that's a personality issue.
Yeah.
As we've established. Then just look at weight. Look at all the sort of innards and things. Four wheels, as we've discussed. But, you know, once... Oh, this is a personality thing. Once you've found a case you really like, you see, I've got a case that I really like here, which I've always used the Antler brand and I buy, so I can say that. We all know that once you get used to something, and we, you know, we travel a lot, so stick with it.
You can name the suitcase as well. Obviously has a name.
Well, my suitcase is called Casey, and Casey has his own little following. Casey's not an easy companion, but Casey's done. Casey likes all the things I don't. So as a writer, Casey's quite useful because Casey likes, you know, little amenities and marble tops and clawfoot baths, which, you know. So Casey also highlights the things that I don't really care about. And Casey gets, he's been hijacked and he's been lost and he's been kidnapped and he's had all sorts of problems. So Casey's also a nice character to write about.
Yes.
And I love him.
Okay. And then there's also just in case that you've...
Well, I do have a carry-on called just in case, but he's a separate issue. He's a separate issue, yeah.
Okay, well, on that we might leave it for today, and we'll obviously be back next week with another episode. Megan, did you want to just list off our social media handles?
Yes.
For anyone wanting to look us up?
Yes, so we'll be uploading some videos of what our cases actually look like. So if you're wondering, if you're listening to this episode and you're wondering what exactly we're talking about, you can see the visuals on our Instagram at thepod_welltravelled and on TikTok at thepodwelltravelled.
All right, that's all. Thank you.